Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's the weekend. You're at NitroBeard.com, and you know what time it is. It's time for the Power Hour this week. It's going to be kind of a heavy wrestling week. In about 4 hours, we got WWE's Royal Rumble, which is probably one of the bigger pay-per-views of the year, and I got some predictions on that. We got some MMO news. I have more of a recommendation on a game you guys should play, a game I've been playing nonstop over this past week. Got a little bit of comic news, stuff like that. But then also, of course, at the very end of the show, we got all of your questions. We got some great questions this week. Can't wait to answer them. But without further ado, let's get started in a segment I like to call MMO News. Not a lot of news in the MMO front as far as game announcements or patch notes or anything like that. It's a kind of a hush-hush time right now. But there is a game that went into open beta. It's not technically an MMO, but it's free to play, and you should play it because it's awesome, and it's called Path of Exile. If you haven't heard of Path of Exile, it is made by Grinding Gear Games, and it is a Diablo clone. But the thing is, it's a really good Diablo clone. The battle system, as far as how responsive it is, it feels a lot like Diablo 2. In fact, it feels almost exactly like Diablo 2 to me. You have your Q-W-E-R-N-T spells. You can also do a right and left click, and the middle mouse button. You can also have dispels. But the coolest thing about Path of Exile, one, it is kind of an MMO. You can just add people to your friends list, drop in, drop out co-op. You can just be in a party at any time. You can make your own instances in different areas, much like you make an instance for dungeons. Whenever you have a party and you want to do raids, you can do that. Level cap is level 100. And also, the game has 6 character classes. But the great thing is, character classes don't really mean much besides where your starting point is on the massive passive skill tree. And the massive passive skill tree is a sight to behold. You'll look at it and you'll be intimidated. It's probably, 600-700 items big. And you can pick little nodes and then bigger nodes. If you ever played Final Fantasy X, it's the sphere grid system. It's identical to the sphere grid system. And also, the way you get skills is through gems. And you can find the gems on, just in the middle of the world. You can trade stuff for them. You can go to NPCs and buy them. You get them for quest rewards. And those are your spells. You equip a gem into your item, and it gives you certain magic. If that sounds familiar, it's from Final Fantasy VII, and it's the Materia system. So you got a Diablo clone that plays exactly like Diablo II, uses the skill system of Final Fantasy X, uses the Materia system of Final Fantasy VII, and massively multiplayer drop-in, drop-out co-op. All the items, there's no real pay-to-win items. They're all cosmetic. There's not even an XP boost that you can buy. It's a pretty difficult game, no character classes, every character can use everything. So if you are a quote-unquote warrior, you can still use wands, you can still use spells, you can still wear robes, whatever you want to do. So right now, I'm running a shadow, which is kind of the game's thief and rogue skill. I'm doing dual daggers because I played, 8 years of WoW and did dual daggers for my rogue. So that's what I know and that's what I love. And it's a ton of fun. I'm level 17. The game just went into open beta like 2 days ago. So I know there's some people out there already level 60 and 70. One of my good friends, big shout out to Hexed on Twitter, Douglas Oldham. He may be on the show soon, by the way. As a side note, we'll talk a lot of League of Legends and stuff if he's on. But he's playing it. He's already like level 35 or something outrageous. And just take it from me. Diablo 3 was my most disappointing game of last year. And the reason why is I felt that Diablo 3 got away from what made Diablo so good. I remember playing Diablo 2 in the summer of 2001 and literally losing my entire summer to it. I mean, looking back on it, it's probably not something I should be proud of, but I was in the top 50 on the US West server for 4 months. I was in the top 50 in the world at the US West server. It's crazy. Hardcore, hell, made it up to like level 82, and then died because of lag, and I was pissed. But anyway, I love Diablo 2. I kind of like Torchlight. It just doesn't do enough variety for me. I had been searching for a game that recaptured that spirit of Diablo, and I think Path of Exile was it. It is darker and grittier. It's set in a medieval fantasy universe, and I'm not really paying attention to any of the story because I would rather go out and kill things and get loot and things like that. The only thing I have so far is the loot isn't very aesthetically pleasing yet, but of course I'm also level 17, so once I get to level 80 or 90, I bet I'll look like a badass. But Path of Exile, it is free to play. Free to play. Don't have to spend a dime on it. You get amazing amount of content. You get everything for free. All of it. The only thing you can buy on the store right now is you can make your armor look shiny. You can, put cool headgear on. You can get more bag space, you can get more stash space, you can color coordinate your stash, you can buy more character slots. I'm not sure what the default character slot is, like how many characters you get on your account, because, well, I only play one character, and that's the way I usually play all of my MMOs. But it's a great game if you're a fan of point and click and click, 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 you know, hack and slash loot-filled games. Path of Exile is amazing. It does take a little bit to kind of get used to the combat system. It is very responsive, but it's not quite as combo-heavy as something like Diablo. But, in my opinion, it's more fun than Diablo 3. And it's almost as fun as Diablo 2, which is something to say. But in news related to that, a lot of people are going to play it. I already got some feedback from it. I told people to play it on Twitter. They tweeted me back saying it feels a lot like Titan Quest. And Titan Quest was a game that I played, didn't really like so much, not because the game wasn't good, the game was great, but because I'm not really big into Greek mythology. I just, you know, everyone has their own fantasy mythology type nerdy thing. I just can't get into Greek mythology. It's why I don't like God of War. It's why I don't really like, you know, any sort of, you know, any of that mythology stuff. Give me Tolkien, I'll be happy. Give me dwarves and elves and cyberpunk and all that stuff, and I'll be good to go. But it does feel like Titan Quest, but the creators of Titan Quest are making a game coming out next year called Grim Dawn, which is supposed to play like Diablo mixed with Oblivion, or mixed with an Elder Scrolls game. You basically have all these big open world quests, you have things like that, but with the interface and this addiction and the skill system and all that click-click good stuff of the Diablo series, and that's a game I'm really looking forward to. But in the meantime, I will be on Path of Exile. If you're on Path of Exile, add Icewind Wes. I-C-E-W-I-N-D, capital W-E-S. There you go. Icewind West. Add me up. We'll play. We'll loot. We'll kill shit. It'll be fun. But that's it for MMO news, man. Just playing Final Fantasy XI, Path of Exile, and World of Warcraft. Not a lot going on in that regard. But yeah, go play it. Go sign up. It's free. It's all free. Go play it. We'll be right back.
Oh,
Welcome back. Yeah, the pro wrestling segment right now is going to really focus on the Royal Rumble. And there's a reason why. Is I was forwarded a dirt sheet. And for those that don't know what a dirt sheet is, it's usually information that has already happened or kind of information right now that's going on in the back over the past weeks, what the writers are thinking, what the wrestlers are thinking, you know, what's going on if so-and-so doesn't like so-and-so or so-and-so figured out he was allergic to bologna, like little stuff, you know, but it's part of the business. A dirt sheet is just something forwarded. Basically, it's a spoiler, right? But there's a lot of dirt sheets floating around about Royal Rumble, and a lot of them are fake, and I hope I was sent the fake one. Okay, I'll just preface it with that. Because let me go over the dirt sheet first, and then I'm going to go over the predictions for the matches. I have the preview matches up here. 1, 2, 3, 4. The 5 matches that I know about. There could be more. But, okay, for the dirt sheet, from what I understand, the winner of the Royal Rumble is going to be John Cena. And then the winner of the CM Punk vs. Rock, for the belt, mind you, the winner will be The Rock. That way, at WrestleMania 29, you can have John Cena versus The Rock yet again. I'll let that sink in for a minute. Just let it simmer. Let it simmer. John Cena wins Royal Rumble, cashes in against The Rock, and odds are, if that were to fucking happen, John Cena would win the belt at WrestleMania. Because, oh, Lord, you know, John Cena deserves it. Let me get into this dirt sheet. Okay. If that literally is going to happen tonight, what? The Royal Rumble's what? 4 hours away? 3 hours and 40 minutes away. If that happens tonight, I am bound to really stop watching on a regular basis. Because two things. John Cena doesn't need to win the Rumble. He doesn't. He doesn't need to win anything. Not for a while. He's still not over his hump where fans are booing him. He needs to lose, and he needs to lose a lot, and he needs to become a normal human being instead of Super Cena. And this needs to happen, and it needs to happen for the good of John Cena. I know John Cena's not hurting for money. He's not hurting for TV time. A lot of people argue that he's doing fine, and that's great, but the thing is, they're running his shtick into the ground, and they have been for like 3 years now. And people are getting wise to it. But you'll hear on the announcements, as people boo him out of the fucking building, well, you never hear such passionate fans for anybody but John Cena. Shut the fuck up. They're booing him out of the building. And it's not because he's a bad guy. He's a great guy. He's done more Make-A-Wish Foundation call-ins than anybody in the world, in the history of the foundation. He's done more for those kids than, you know, and as a dad, I really appreciate that. So he's a hell of a man. I'd love to have a beer with him. I'd love to talk shop and cars and shit with John Cena. I'd love it. As a guy, I literally have nothing against him. But for God's sakes, keep him off of the world title picture. Just keep him off. What he's doing right now with Dolph Ziggler's fine. What he's doing right now with some of the, not lower card talent, but I guess higher mid-carders, is fine. Push the younger guys. John Cena's been in the business for a while. You know, he's been in for about 10 years now. So, let him kind of hang out for a while. He doesn't need a belt. He doesn't need a shot at a belt. Let him relax. He's still the face of the WWE. That's my problem with John Cena. It's not John Cena. It's how the WWE is handling John Cena. The thing is, I know for a fact my daughter will be a John Cena fan. That's just the way it goes. And I'm going to buy her little John Cena slippers, and I'm going to help him out. I'm going to buy little t-shirts and onesies and little hats, and she'll do the You Can't See Me, and it'll be adorable. I'm fine with that. But, once again, CM Punk said it best over a year ago, the idea that John Cena is the best is outrageous. Because he's not. You have guys like Daniel Bryan. You have guys like Tyson Kidd, who, by the way, is out on injury for like 6 months, which kind of sucks, and I'll get to that in a minute. John Cena literally has everything he needs. So let him relax for a little bit. Let him lose some fucking matches. Not every single match has to be 37-on-1 against John Cena. Well, now, instead of just Dolph Ziggler versus John Cena, it's going to be Dolph Ziggler and AJ and Big E Langston versus John Cena in a cage match. Let him have a fucking match and have him lose. People aren't going to stop liking John Cena because he lost an actual wrestling match. That's not his character. That's not the way it goes for John Cena. John Cena will be loved regardless. So show that there are other powerful people in the business. It's a weird state of affairs whenever CM Punk has held the belt for 5 days, 8 days? You know, almost 440 days. Yet he's still a lower priority than what's happening with John Cena. How is that possible? That just goes to show that the belt is not important. And that brings me back to what would happen if The Rock wins the belt. I wouldn't be so upset if Rock won the belt. Not because he doesn't earn it, or, you know, he didn't pay his dues, or the fans wouldn't like him as champ, or whatever. No, it's guaranteed TV time, it guarantees ratings, he's going to be the belt holder. But that just goes to show that the belt really doesn't matter, because you're about to give it to a guy that's going to leave in 6 months to make more movies. Sure, someone's going to win it back from him, but why is The Rock going to be the one to end CM Punk's streak? There's no one in the business that could end CM Punk's streak. Realistically, there's no one. Not without a screw job, not without, oh my god, look at what happened. Oh, the Shield came in and kicked someone in the face. Oh, a big, big turnover. Oh, Paul Heyman brought in Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar hit, oh, CM Punk with the F5, and oh my god, oh, it's a big betrayal. That's the only way they're going to get the belt away from him, because what, are you going to have someone out-wrestle CM Punk besides Daniel Bryan? No. You're not. Not in WWE. Arguably not anywhere. The only people I could see that could do it is Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, and they're with another company. So, why, you know, in this dirt sheet, once again, I don't know if it's real, it's fake, it could just have been sent out just to piss people like me off, but we'll see in about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours, right? But just the idea that they would give it to Rock and they would give it to John Cena because, oh, WrestleMania 28 made us a lot of money, and, you know, we can make a lot of money again if it's for the belt this time. That way people won't argue when it was the fucking main event, even though CM Punk versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 28 is, my opinion, the match of the year. It was match of the year. Sure, Taker, Triple H told a hell of a story. Sure, I was a big mark during it. I was, oh, I was cheering. I love The Undertaker. CM Punk, Chris Jericho was the best match of the year. Period. And yet it wasn't the main event. The main event was The Rock versus John Cena for absolutely nothing. A match that they hyped up for a year for no reason, other than to sell pay-per-view tickets. And I know at the end of the day this is just a business, but if you're giving The Rock the belt only to let John Cena win it at WrestleMania for his big year-long redemption, who the fuck cares? No one. Little kids my daughter's age, who's less than 1 year old, they might care because they like John Cena. But you're going to tell me the wrestling show about pro wrestling is going to give the belt to the actor and not the pro wrestler? I have a problem with it. CM Punk is the best wrestler in that company besides Daniel Bryan. I'm always going to say besides Daniel Bryan, by the way. I'm the biggest Daniel Bryan fan on the planet. I think Team Hell Knows funny. As long as Daniel Bryan gets TV time, I'm happy. But, I mean, my dream match, and I said that, I probably said this a few weeks ago, my dream match would have, like, the World Heavyweight Champ, Dolph Ziggler, versus CM Punk, WWE Champ, at WrestleMania for a unification of the titles match. The winner gets everything. The winner gets everything. There's no four belts or five belts that you can get. No, there would just be the one belt. There'd be the one belt. Sure, you would have the Intercontinental Champion. You'd have the Women's Championship. And then you would have the belt. And the reason why is it needs to go back to the belt. It's going to help everybody. Then everybody can be hungry, and I'm going to go after the title. Because right now, people are just chilling out. So, there needs to be more work ethic. There needs to be, it needs to be about the belt. It hasn't been about the belt in years. Thankfully, CM Punk always brings up the belt. Always. This is my belt. This is the belt. I am the champion. I am the champ. Keep doing that. I know it grates on some people's nerves, but keep reminding people, oh yeah, there's a belt to win. Because that's what's important. That's what's important for the business. That's what's important for the history of that fucking belt. But we'll see. We'll see in 4 hours. I got the Royal Rumble match listing right here. I'm going to tell you my predictions. Even I won't even acknowledge the dirt sheet as being right, but I'm going to tell you my predictions. Okay, first match, it's the pre-show match. It's going to happen on YouTube. It's U.S. champion Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz for the belt. I think, let's see. I'm going to give it to The Miz. They're pushing The Miz pretty hard. Ric Flair gave him the figure four. Antonio Cesaro is getting a lot of boos just because he's like, I don't like America and there's no one that can beat me, which is funny. You know, Claudio was in Ring of Honor. Now he's Antonio Cesaro. Here, he's a hell of a wrestler. He's a hell of a worker. But, you know, they're going to give it to The Miz, which upsets me. Because once again, you're going to give it to the movie star and not the pro wrestler. WWE Tag Team Champions, Team Hell No versus Team Rhodes Scholars. As much as I love Daniel Bryan, and I hope Team Hell No keeps the belts because they have a great thing going. There's more interest in tag teams because of Team Hell No. It's getting them on TV. People actually see them as viable opponents. You know what I mean? Like, it's really bringing the tag team division together. It's going to go to Team Rhodes Scholars. They're going to win the belt. They're going to get a really good heel push. And either they're going to use Team Hell No as kind of the babyface tag team, which they kind of are anyway. And they're really going to push that forward. And they're going to just push Team Hell No and make this a really big rivalry before WrestleMania, which would be a great match. I'd love to see them do a proper tag match at WrestleMania, just as long as Daniel Bryan gets to actually wrestle this time at WrestleMania and not get kicked in the fucking face by Sheamus, what, 18 seconds in? Despicable. But I'm going to give it to Team Rhodes Scholars. You know, they're on a decent push. Cody Rhodes' mustache thing is actually taken off pretty well. Like, literally, it looks like it's about to fly away. But I see it happening. And you know what? Team Rhodes Scholars is a good tag team. I think they deserve it. I think the tag division would be good with a little bit of variety. And as much as I love Team Hell No, a lot of people think, you know, well, they're not the best tag team, which some ways I agree, some ways I don't. But, you know, it is what it is. I give it Team Rhodes Scholars. Hopefully, my dream, what would happen, is fucking Team Hell No splits up, Daniel Bryan starts making a shot towards Dolph Ziggler or CM Punk, and we actually get a proper goddamn match at WrestleMania for a belt. But that's just me. 30-man Royal Rumble match. I have two predictions. Neither of them good. They both upset me a great deal. And I don't know if I'm going to be right or if I'm going to be wrong. But my two predictions, either it's going to be Sheamus again. That way he's alongside, you know, Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold for winning two in a row. Or it's going to be Randy Orton. And for obvious reasons, I'm not a Randy Orton fan. He's not very good. He just shows up to work. And he works okay. But he is the epitome of the Pavlov dog response. What the Pavlov dog response is it's basically, it's what pro wrestling is built on. There was a, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but there was a psychologist, the last name Pavlov. That's all I know. I don't have Wikipedia. Sorry. And he did an experiment on a behavioral study, and he did it on his dogs. And what it was is he would ring a bell and then feed a dog food within, like, 2 minutes. So, over time, he would continue to do this. He would ring the bell. 2 minutes later, he'd give the dog the food. Ring the bell, then he'd give the dog the food. And he'd do this for months and months and months. And what happened is, at first, the dog would drool whenever it would see the food. You know, it would hear the bell, then it would see the food, then it would salivate, and then it would eat the food. Well, after a while, this behavioral modification happened. And what it did is every time the bell would ring, the dog would start to salivate, right? The dog knew that food was about to come. It got used to the fact that once that bell rang, something happened. That's the Pavlov dog response. That way, whenever you, it's everywhere. You can see it in HBK setting up the super kick, the sweet chin music. Every time he would just be in the corner and just stomp his foot, people knew what would come. They'd stand up all, they'd start cheering, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. They would expect what would happen. Same thing for The Undertaker. He'd do his little neck choke, chop thing, and then he'd do a tombstone. Or whenever someone's music hits, for that matter. That's kind of the epitome of it. Someone's music hits, the place goes bananas, and then someone walks out. That's Pavlov Dog's response. Randy Orton does nothing but that. In my opinion, he doesn't even wrestle. He walks out, he does his little arm thing in the turnbuckle, ooh, and then he punches the ground, and then he does his Viper RKO thing, he does his DDT, and that's it. He's, once again, he does five moves, and we're done. So he doesn't need to win it either. Who do I want to win the Royal Rumble match? I actually never thought about it. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see it, but it's not going to happen, is Dolph Ziggler. And the reason why is I think Dolph Ziggler is going to win the belt before WrestleMania anyway. So he's going to be in a number one or number two. That was a stipulation Vicky Guerrero gave him. If he comes in at number one and does the whole thing, oh, that'd be rad. That would be rad. I mean, part of the fun of the Royal Rumble is you don't know who's going to be in the match. But I swear, if they give it to Sheamus or Randy Orton, I'm going to vomit. I won't stop vomiting. We'll go on to the next Power Hour. I'll be, hey guys, blah, 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 blah. And I'll just be vomiting all over my keyboard. World Heavyweight Champion, Alberto Del Rio versus The Big Show in a last man standing match. I'm going to give it to Alberto Del Rio. I think he's going to do a 2-for-2. Big Show's kind of on this, I don't know, Big Show can kind of do whatever he wants, I guess. He's been in the business damn near 20 years. Big Show's just on this kick. He's such a good heel because he's so dumb. Like, he's a smart guy, I'm sure, but his character's so dumb. Like, I can't believe all these Mexicans. Like, that's what he's saying now. He's saying just outright blatant racist stuff. And he's just a dumb guy. But Alberto Del Rio, you know, he's wearing the nice suits, he's coming out, he can hold the belt. You know what, he holds the belt as a prestigious thing, which it is. And that's why I appreciate Alberto Del Rio. I'm not an Alberto Del Rio fan. I would never go out of my way to watch one of his matches, but you know what, he is what he is. And if he's going to hold the belt and he's going to hold it well, by all means, let him have it. So I think he's going to win it. And then, of course, WWE Champion CM Punk versus The Rock. I think CM Punk's going to take it. That what better way to push him over as the ultimate heel than to beat the People's Champion? It's like, oh, the people brought up The Rock, and the People's Champion isn't even good enough to come and take my belt. So who's it going to be? Then you have your build-up to WrestleMania, and he can lose the belt at WrestleMania. Then there's a nice payoff. There's a good story there. But, yeah, I'm saying CM Punk. So CM Punk over Rock. Alberto Del Rio over The Big Show. The 30-man Royal Rumble match, it's going to be either Sheamus or Randy Orton. The Tag Team Champions, Team Hell No versus Road Scholars, I think Road Scholars takes it. And then Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz, it goes to The Miz. That's all the matches I know about. That's up on WWE.com right now. We're about 3.5 hours away from the show, so we're going to find out in due time. I'm excited for it. I really am. Royal Rumble's always a fun night. It's always a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk to you guys on Twitter about it. And speaking of Twitter, let's just go right on into the questions. We'll be right back. I got all your questions right here. Can't wait to answer them. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. It is question and answer time. Super excited. I got a full list of questions here. Some really good ones. A lot of variety. First off, of course, good friend Marco Flores. Big shout out to Marco Flores. Let's see. What would be your wrestling gimmick? And who would you tag team with? It's actually a good question. I don't know. I'm trying to think throughout the years, like, who had a great gimmick. Very rarely am I a fan of kind of the big, larger-than-life sort of, you know, Boogeyman, Umaga, Legion of Doom. Which Legion of Doom were awesome, don't get me wrong, but, you know, like these characters. Like, I'm not big on characters, but I am big on just guys that come out, you know, your Chris Jerichos, your CM Punk, your, you know, just these guys that go out there, they can talk mess, they can talk smack, they can handle business. I'd want to do one of those, and I'd love being a heel. I would love it. I would love to get everyone in that building to boo at me, throw shit at me. I would love it. And, you know, someone who I think is going to be doing really good at it over the next year is going to be Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is a hell of a heel, and he's wrestled CM Punk many times. Not a lot of people know that. He's wrestled CM Punk many times. He used to be in CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling, which is a piece of garbage. He's been a lot of places, and he's a hell of a worker, but he's very good at getting people to boo him. He has that look, you know, he's in the Shield, he has that look on his face, he's almost like the Joker in a weird way, but, oh, he's so good. I'd love something like that. That would be kind of my shtick. And who would you tag team with? Huh. Let's see. I'd go with Marco Flores. I'm gonna say it right now. I'm going to brown nose a little bit. That's right. I'm brown nosing. Marco Flores will be the new primetime players, man. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be the new primetime players. We're going to make billions of dollars. It's going to be awesome. See, besides Street Fighter, what other video game titles would you like to see in comic book form and further develop their universe? And then Marco goes on to say, for example, Street Fighter 3 The New Generation will tie up all the loose ends for the Street Fighter 2 cast, excuse me, and blend them with the Third Strike cast. And that's actually being made by Udon Entertainment, so that's actually happening. That sounds pretty cool. I would love to see comics based on... I could make the joke and say World of Warcraft, because those comics are terrible. Oh, those comics are so bad. They're really bad. Let's see. Let me bring up my Steam list. What would I like to see... You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'll say Darksiders. It makes sense, right? Joe Mad is the artist. He literally does great comic books. I can't remember the name of his one comic book. Oh, God. About, like the girl with a giant golem hand and... Fuck, I can't remember it. Can't remember it. Oh, all my comic friends at work are going to be pissed that I can't remember it. Joe Mad's awesome comic. But hell, he's a hell of a comic book artist anyway. I think they still have quite a good story to tell with Darksiders. You know, you already had two of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse in there. Get the other two in there. Write it up, man. End it kind of like how Joss Whedon did Buffy. Do it like that. You know. Oh, and hell, speaking of this type of stuff, let's see. What are your... this is from Eric Klein, good friend Lands on Platformers. What are your thoughts on... the revival of the cyberpunk genre / themes in video games. You know, like Deus Ex Human Revolution, Remember Me, Cyberpunk 2077. I love it. I love, 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 love it. As a lot of you know, if you've listened to the Beardcast a lot, if you've read Nitro Beard for any amount of time, you are all well aware that my favorite movie of all time, bar none, is Blade Runner. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and they kind of all tie in with cyberpunk. And if you want to hear a really in-depth, like 2.5 hour long cyberpunk discussion, you can go back to the NitroBeard.com Beardcast archives and find the Deus Ex special, or just go to NitroBeard.com, type in Deus Ex. It should pop up, should be there on the first page. That to me was one of the most stimulating conversations about fiction, about cyberpunk, about how science fiction can be used to probably tell stories of our world, because I am very much a guy who is a fan of creating a fictional universe to tell stories about a real universe, because people are more willing to listen. If you remove it, if you make it fictional, if you kind of put some pretty stuff, some lights, some beeps, some boops, whether it be that or like Lord of the Rings, I know Tolkien wasn't a big fan of allegory, but there's a lot of his life lessons from World War I in The Lord of the Rings. So, I love that type of stuff, because you can read into it. You can get what you want out of it. You can see, you can read between the lines, you can find things. And cyberpunk is great at that. Some cyberpunk can be kind of heavy-handed. About, oh, control, you know, Metal Gear, in a lot of ways, is cyberpunk. But Metal Gear got very preachy. And they weren't very subtle about what they were talking about. But stuff like Deus Ex is very subtle about what it talks about. Because, in my opinion, it's not about, well, here's human augmentation. We're putting fake, you know, if you put a fake arm on someone who lost their arm in the war, are they still a human being now that they have a cybernetic arm? Sure, that's part of it, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think it goes, how could the world get in such a way to where that would be deemed fully appropriate? You know, and that's something to think about. I mean, it really brings about thought. I mean, hell, Blade Runner is a perfect example. A lot of people think Blade Runner is about if Rick Deckard, you know, Harrison Ford's character, if he's a replicant or not. And that, in my opinion, that's not the point of the thing at all. If you've read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, you'll realize the whole story and Philip K. Dick's whole thing is what makes human human. What is humanity? It doesn't matter if someone is a replicant, you know, which is pretty much a cyborg, or not. It doesn't matter. What makes a human human? What is in a soul? Can you get a soul? Can you develop it? Does it develop, or is it there from the beginning? Cyberpunk tackles these questions extremely well, and the themes are very valuable in any form of media. I just think video games are pretty cool because you can interact with these worlds, you can see them, things like that. It's really cool, but I'm a fan of science fiction that takes those type of themes and runs with them. And yeah, it's a tight line though. You know what I mean? Because you could become Star Trek and you could just tell morality plays over and over. Well, this is why people are different and people should be different and let's all hug because people are different. No, I'm not into that. Like, that's why I love Battlestar Galactica so much, is Battlestar Galactica kind of touched on that stuff a little bit, but then there's like four or five layers of depth there that you're like, something big is going on. And they're saying some very profound things without realizing that they're saying them. And that's why I recommend everyone, if you have a Netflix account, for God's sakes, watch Battlestar Galactica. For God's sakes, you can almost deem it a prequel to Blade Runner. Because instead of Blade Runner telling this unique, really well-told story within, you know, 2.5-3 hours, you have Battlestar Galactica, which fully expounds on these morality things and these themes and what does it mean to be human and how would you feel if everything you knew was a lie and, you know, what if you don't remember becoming what you are now and how did you get to where you're at and the decisions you make in life, were they granted to you by higher power or did you do them of your own free will? These are very profound things, and Battlestar does it over 4 seasons, and every single episode teaches you something, and it's really cool. But I love it, man. I love cyberpunk. I love science fiction. Anything that tells a good story, I'm a big fan of. But cyberpunk, for some reason, clicks with me in a way that a lot of other stuff doesn't. Simply because I can kind of take a step back and see everything. You know what I mean? I think that's what cyberpunk does. It's all neon. It looks cool. It's rainy. It's steamy. So you want to take back. You want to step back, rather, and you want to take it all in. Oh, man, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. But in that act of stepping back, you're actually kind of distancing yourself that you'll listen. But that's my thoughts. Go listen to the Deus Ex cast. We go into this for like 2.5 hours, man. It's awesome. But good friend Cody Dunn asks, with the advent of Shin Megami Tensei / Fire Emblem, what other third-party companies should Nintendo cross over with? And for those that don't know, Fire Emblem / Shin Megami Tensei was actually announced for the 3DS. Or no, it was announced for the Wii U, I'm sorry. Announced for the Wii U, and it sounds awesome. There's no gameplay of it yet, but hell, if it's a turn-based strategy game and you're mixing Shin Megami Tensei with Fire Emblem, you got my fucking vote. What other third-party company? I would love to see Nintendo's take on Front Mission. You know, the Square Enix property. I love Front Mission 1 and 2 and 3. 3 is one of my favorite strategy games ever. Front Mission Evolved kind of sucked. Front Mission 4 was okay, but I would love to see what they would do with Front Mission. You know? And of course, I have to say it, I'm a big Capcom guy when it comes down to it, so I would say Breath of Fire. Bring in those Breath of Fire characters, man. Add them into Fire Emblem. Do something with them. They're good characters. Behemoth asks quite a few questions. What is a man? I think we all know the answer to that, kids. We can all answer it at the same time. It's a miserable pile of secrets. Very good. We did it. That is what a man is. Another question, why doesn't Path of Exile just have a fucking currency? This trading thing is annoying and seems different for the sake of being different, in a game that has already done well enough to distinguish itself from the Diablo clones. I agree, actually. The way currency works in Path of Exile is it's a bartering system. So, if you want the sword, then you need to give over 2 scrolls of wisdom, or you need to give over an orb of transmutation and an orb of augmentation. And then you can get this deal. But then, once again, you can't use that stuff to distinguish your gear because you're using it for currency. But, you know, another game kind of did this too, Metro 2033. You could find premium bullets, and premium bullets did critical chance damage, and they were guaranteed to do damage, they were guaranteed not to rust out on you, and they were guaranteed quality. However, that was also your currency. So you could either buy more weapons that used worse bullets because you spent your real bullets, or you could keep your real bullets and your crappier gun. You know what I mean? So it's a unique choice. It's something interesting to think about. But I agree. I think Path of Exile, I do think the real reason why they did it is so they wouldn't have gold farming. I know you're just going to replace it with orbs of transmutation and stuff like that, but that goes a long way from keeping people like that out of your game. It's like, well, there's no money here. You can't grind 400 million gold a day and sell it on the black market. Sorry. You know, a lot of people just aren't going to take the time. They're going to be like, well, fuck, I have to do this, and I have to trade this, and I have to, you know, yeah, it's a few extra steps for us, but instead of it being a different, just for the sake of being different, I think they're really doing it to keep a lot of the black market people out of it, which is smart, you know. Would I prefer they did gold and stuff? Hell yeah. It's a lot easier to keep track of. My stash is almost always half full because I have fucking all sorts of orbs and stuff in there. But yeah, Path of Exile, I'm glad you're playing it, man. Glad you are playing it. We need to kill some shit together. We need to all get on there, man. Path of Exile is so much fun. I'm like level 17 now. I'm going to be playing it as soon as I get done uploading this, waiting for the Rumble to start. Can't wait, man. Can't wait. And then last one from Behemoth. Why isn't anyone making Dark Souls clones? I would enjoy Path of Exile way more if it was a Dark Souls clone. And if I get this right, Behemoth is a huge Dark Souls fan. Enough so that if I ever had a question about how to not fuck myself in Dark Souls, I would go to Behemoth. That's how much he knows on it. So he's kind of the master. I'm going to call you this on... Here you go, Behemoth. I'm going to call you this on the air. Behemoth is the master of Dark Souls. You just got the Nitro Beard seal of approval, friend. But now you got to live up to it. So if I have any shit that goes wrong with Dark Souls, I'm going to be coming to you. But yeah, Dark Souls is great. But why aren't there any more? It's a hard game to emulate. It's super hard. Dark Souls has this perfect balance of being so frustrating you want to rip your hair out and you want to kick over your computer and you want to fucking jump out of a window. But then once you get something right and once everything clicks and once, you know, you actually take down one of the enemies that's been, you know, or a boss or something like that that you've been stuck on for 8 hours, once you get it done, there's no better feeling in the world. The only other feeling I can relate it to is winning like competitive StarCraft matches on a stream. Like, while it's being streamed and you have announcers behind you. I've done it once in my entire life. Once. Probably never again, but that's fine. I had that feeling once. I played good StarCraft once on the internet. People said I played well. So, forever, I will be known as an okay StarCraft player, and I'm ecstatic. It's one of my lifelong dreams come true. Another one from Cody Dunn. This just in. Am I the only one who sees this Vine thing as like a new form of art, or, you know, reality copying art, or art copying reality, or what? Well, for those that don't know, Vine is a new program from the creators of Twitter, and it allows you to make 6-second video. It's on iOS only right now. I can't wait till it gets on Android, because you're going to get a whole flood on Twitter of my Vine movies of, you know, Gracie doing stupid stuff and me flexing at the gym. That's all it's going to be, or me eating and, like, slyly winking at the camera. Mm-hmm, ladies. You know, that's all I'm going to do. But yeah, 6-second video. You can edit them. You can make them, like, stop motion. Whatever you want to do. It's a really cool thing. I mean, I love Twitter, of course. I love Twitter. But I think Vine can really take off. You know, I think it's really cool. I just don't know why they didn't release it on iOS and Android and all these other mobile devices at the same time. You know, like, how hard is it? Did they just want to see if it took off and then do it to make more money? Or I don't know. I can't wait to get it, though. Hopefully it comes to Android in the next few weeks. But that's it. That's the questions. Thank you guys so much. Those are great questions. A lot of variety. And I did want to say this. You know, promised a lot of big changes were going to happen to Power Hour, and those are still going to happen. And I'm very happy to say, right now, if you just go up and load iTunes real quick and put in Nitrobeard, you're going to see two podcasts come up. You're going to see the Junkcast, and then you're going to see the Power Hour, bitch. That's right. Power Hour is now on iTunes. It'll go streaming directly to your mobile device. If you got iTunes on there, you can put it on your playlist. You can subscribe for free, rate it 5 stars. Get us millions of dollars. I promise to share it with all of you. Get it on iTunes. We also got an RSS feed because we have a show page, nitrobeard.com/powerhour. Go there and be awesome. That's where this episode's going to be. It's exciting. We got an RSS feed. We got iTunes. The only thing left to get is a second seat. You see what I'm saying? But like I said, we're going to have some guests before too long. It's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, go out there, enjoy the Royal Rumble. If you spoil it for me, I will kill you, myself, with my bare hands. And I might use my feet, but I'll kill you. So don't spoil it. Go play Path of Exile instead. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble next week. We'll talk about Raw, SmackDown, TNA, all that good stuff. This one, that's a wrap. Thank you so much. Big shout out to Marco Flores once again for the free comic books. You're the man. Couldn't do it without you. And everyone else, I'll see you on Path of Exile. Subscribe on iTunes. It's the Power Hour. Power up.